Amen. Hey, I'm sorry, I need to correct the record on something. I apologize. I said that Carly, if you know, announcing her birthday, that she would come up on the platform and do the chicken dance, right?
Yep.
What I did not know is today is Diane Wareheim's birthday, and she is the one who has granted the... Thank you, Diane. I didn't know you'd do that. I just assumed you would throw things at me. Hey, good morning, everybody. Now, listen, I want to ask a couple of things. The word that we're dealing with is results. I'll get to you what we're going to talk about here in just a second, but I want to just kind of do a conversational thing real quick. I'm going to ask some questions, but I'm not going to ask for you to respond. You don't have to raise your hands or whatever. But I want you to think in terms of the fact that we are a church. We're a Pentecostal church. That can either be a title or it could be a description. But what we mean by that is that we embrace the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We don't embrace it into such a way that we de-emphasize who Jesus is in our life as Lord and Savior. But there are a lot of people like myself that I got saved, and there was quite a bit of time between getting saved and realizing that the Holy Spirit plays a specific role in my life. And I just enjoy the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that today you are indeed baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or if you've called it, sometimes you've heard it called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are words that are basically synonymous. But here's the thing that I want to avoid. If you are not, sometimes the way we present things can make you feel like you're a second-class Christian. Like you just don't measure up. And that's anything but the truth. Anything but the truth. There's a lot of people out there that I know that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't speak with other tongues like I do. They don't pray in tongues. They don't embrace it like our church does. And listen, they're going to heaven just as quick as I am or you are. So this isn't a dividing factor. It's a uniting factor in Christ. However, there's a lot of people that they just don't embrace what the Holy Spirit can do for them. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the results of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, infilling the Holy Spirit. I love that we're a church that we embrace the Holy Spirit. We invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of everything that we do. You know, the kids singing up here and the worship that we have, quite honestly, that's something that is anointed by the Holy Spirit. It's why we enjoy it, why we embrace it the way that we do. I love the fact that we're a church that often we feel moved by the Holy Spirit today. You know, anybody can schedule a prayer time, but the Holy Spirit knows who needs to have that prayer time and who's going to be here. He's this incredible, incredible organizer. I love the energy, the excitement, the enthusiasm that you experience when you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's another reason that we want to talk about. But it's the results. This isn't a human thing, but at the same time, humanly, we've experienced it to a great deal, that we measure things mostly by the results and not by what we say or what we promise. It's the results that make the difference. Would you not agree? You know, so we want to talk about the results of embracing the Holy Spirit today. Why would we preach to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, without being able to tell you that there are results that you can expect as a part of embracing the Holy Spirit? You know, one thing that I was told when I was talked about being saved was that I could expect that God would really touch my heart. I would expect that I would have the assurance that I would go straight to heaven. Matter of fact, John mentions that over in 1 John. He says, I've written all these things so you can know that you are saved and you're going to have eternal life. I like the fact of knowing, you know. And so it wasn't just this churchy promise stuff. I started experiencing the results. So the results, like most everything else, the results are the manifestation of the things that are presented. The Holy Spirit wants to have such an impact in your life. There's things that you can see, things that you can measure. Now listen, you and I both know that we don't see the Holy Spirit physically. But you know what? The minute I got saved, things changed in me. I got saved, and you know, it was kind of really cool because, you know, I quit doing this, that, and the other. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, people started saying, you're different. Something's up with you. What's changed in you? I mean, I started loving people I didn't even like when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was kind of cool. You know what else I fell in love with? I fell in love with people. I fell in love with the Bible. I fell in love with prayer. Prayer was so hard. It was just difficult. It just seemed like this arduous responsibility, this obligation, this thing I'm supposed to do. It's almost like I got to check this off the list or I'm not going to heaven. But I loved praying. Matter of fact, we started creating opportunities to pray. I've told you before, but, you know, we broke into our high school, into the wrestling room to have prayer, usually after we had our dates, me and a bunch of other guys around 11:30 or midnight. You know why? Because the wrestling mats were soft. Everywhere else we prayed, it had concrete and stuff. I can't believe the things I did against the law of man just so I could obey the law of God. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? And he forgave me for all of that, and thank God that was before burglar alarms and that type of thing. Hey, the results are the proof. It's the proof that we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have a history with the Assemblies of God, our Pentecostals, mostly of the Assemblies of God, we believe that the speaking in other tongues is the initial physical evidence. I'm not going to go into a big explanation there, but on the day of Pentecost, which is why we're called Pentecostals, the Holy Spirit fell, and the men and women that were up in the upper room spilled out of that place, and they were speaking in other tongues. It was something people heard, they saw, and they recognized they were speaking in tongues, in different languages than their normal language. So we believe that the initial physical evidence, in other words, something you can hear, something you can see, there's that type of thing. We don't hang on that. I mean, there's so many different other explanations. Matter of fact, I asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in prayer, and I was filled 2 weeks later. But in the middle of those 2 weeks, man, God just changed. So that's where he started giving me a love for the Bible. That's where he started giving me a love for people. That's where my life just turned upside down. So the proof was already there, the manifestation. But here's the cool thing. The results are the objectives of the Holy Spirit. They are what we aim for in seeking for the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't give, we just took up our offering, so don't worry, this isn't another offering. But we don't give so that we can get, do we? We give out of obedience. So when you're pursuing the Holy Spirit, you're embracing the Holy Spirit, we don't embrace the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit will do this. We embrace the Holy Spirit so he'll have this. Does that make sense? It's not so that we will have him do something for us, it's so that he'll have something to do to us. And it's exciting how this goes. Now, let me ask you something. When was the last time you were on the end of a diving board? I like this picture. I remember my first time on the high dive. I mean, you know, I'd mastered the low dive and everything else. It was about 3 foot and that type of deal. I mean, backflips, you name it. I got up to the high dive. I don't know, it's probably only like 7 more feet, maybe 10 feet or whatever. I was freaked out. And you know the bad thing was? There was a line of kids behind me. Line of kids. That is pressure. Can I just tell you, sometimes in church, when we present the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's how it feels. Oh my goodness, these people are just telling me I got to baptize, I just got to believe, you know. And then they're up there going, go for it. And half of them are encouraging. Are you kidding me? They're not encouraging. Go ahead, you're killing me. We got to believe. You know, they're all this stuff. That's in the diving, that's in the swimming pool. In the church, everybody's extremely encouraging, or at least they should be. But if you've ever been frozen on the end of that diving board, you know what it is. You're just wishing for the courage to be able to just let go and everything. But you know what? It's really not about courage at all. It's about trust. It's about trust. The Holy Spirit doesn't put us in a position where we have to prove how brave we are, or how tough we are, or how determined we are. We didn't have to grit our teeth. I don't know why I'm doing it either, but I am. You know what? He just says, trust me. You ever been one of those things where they do the trust fall thing? You know, people behind you, they go, okay, you know, close your eyes or whatever. They say, we're going to catch you, but you don't see them. You just look straight, you go, you know, you go Tim Burr, and you're just hoping they're there. We did a retreat with our youth. Man, this was years ago. We went up to Camp Takatoka. Kyla Jones was there, and I remember they had this faith fall, and it was kind of cool in the classroom. And then we went outside. They had one that was about 4 feet off the ground. And then they had students up there, and they were falling back. You know, now this is about 4 feet plus the you know, falling. And we're down there, and I'm going, this is so cool. We're teaching our teenagers trust. This is awesome. And then the instructor says, okay, youth pastor, it's your turn. I go, wait a minute. And here's the thing. We had youth sponsors did all this. I had the junior hires, all right? I'm standing up there, and I'm looking at these weasels in their teens, 13, 14, then he says, okay, we're going to teach you. You're going to trust them. I'm going, I don't know. You know, and he says, in matter of fact, instead of being backwards, I want you to go forwards. I go, what? Now I get the rush of seeing the ground come at me with these teenagers. I'm sorry, I saw a look at their face going, he's a fat boy. I don't think we're going to do this, you know. And sure enough, man, I had to do it. I had to do it. This was teach your children. And man, I fell off of that thing and they all went to their knees, but they go, we caught him. I go, yes, yes, you did. Oh man. These diving board moments are like that. So what keeps you on the board? Sometimes it's a history. You ever been up there on that board and everything? And it's all that name calling, stuff like that. Maybe sometimes somebody will reach up there and push you off. That'll teach you never to want to go on a diving board again, won't it? And sometimes it's ourselves. We just doubt ourselves. We don't want to go there. You know, we're not finding trust at all. We're not finding courage. Matter of fact, we're finding ridicule. And sometimes it's the unknown. We don't know what's like that. Do you remember getting saved? If it was all about, I don't know what's on the other side, then you probably had a hard time doing it. But, you know, that unknown is something that needs to just be put in the category of faith. And then sometimes that's why we don't take these leaps. That's why we don't do these great trust things. For some of you, it was because of a new experience. Man, you know, being on the diving board the first time, every time you've never been there, I mean, it's daunting. It's a whole different reference to high, you know, and it looks so cool from down there, but when you get up there, it's a whole different perspective. And this is a brand new experience, so we're a little bit apprehensive. And for some of you, it's because it's a new height. Now, let me explain that. There's a lot of people that have done church, and they've done church well, and they've done church for a long time, so they know how to do church. But then when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and it says, I want to challenge you to do this. I want you to do this. I want to do more in your life. I want to teach you this. I want to teach you that. We go, wait a minute. I don't mind being down here because I can control down here. I've been down here. This is where I feel safe. Don't make me go up there. And that's what happens. A lot of times we just feel like this is a whole new experience, so I'm not sure that I can really do this or not. Sometimes it's because of new circumstances. You know, some of you, this may be a brand new church experience, our church itself. I remember I got saved. I went to a Baptist church. No offense to the Baptists whatsoever. I always want to put a disclaimer out there so nobody hates me. But I went to this Baptist church, and it wasn't in this state. And everything was really, it was cool. People were loving, but everything seemed a little dry, if you will. Everything they did, you know, just stand up, hymnal, you know. And matter of fact, if you prayed back then, you had to pray with your eyes closed. Because if you prayed with your eyes open, it nullified the prayer. It did not count. I'm sorry. You know, and that's still true, by the way. If you don't know that, that's still true. But so we had all these practices. And then I met these people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were here during our Holy Spirit conference, Denny Duron, on the last night, he was one of those guys. He was so energetic. He was so excited. And it was all about the Lord. It wasn't about, I got a brand new car. Check this out. Check that. No, it was about this new Savior that had this partner called the Holy Spirit. And man, I was so excited about that. But that was a brand new pool to me. I'd never been there before. Whole different circumstance. So some of you might be that this is a little different. And this might be a new crowd to you as well. I remember going to that church. It was called Huffman Assembly of God. Walked in. People were super friendly, which was cool. But then we got into the worship. Nobody sat down for the longest time, for crying out loud. It was ridiculous. And the youth, they were just like our silly youth. They would get up front, you know, and they would go up front and they would sing and stuff like that. Make me feel old. So I said, well, hey, I'm a youth. I went right with them. They sucked me in so quick. It's pitiful. Next thing, I'm just right there with them. And you know what? You had to get there early. You had to get there early. You didn't get a seat up front. You had a seat in the back, which is where that was the rapture zone. Yeah, that's what he felt. I missed it. I'm not in the... It was horrible way back there. So you got there early so you could get a seat. The whole new crowd. First time I'm there, I'm just kind of watching and everything because our superintendent at the church that I went to said, if you go down to that church, you might as well speak in tongues with one hand and handle a snake in the other. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about. I'd never read that reference over there in Mark 16 or any of that stuff. And if you're worried about what I'm just talking about, look it up. But I thought, what is he talking about? All I know is he mentioned snakes, and I didn't want any part of that. So I'm down there just kind of looking at what's going on. And about three people down, this lady starts speaking in tongues. I went, what is that? And everything got quiet. This was a big auditorium. And this guy way over there on the other side of the valley, for crying out loud, starts speaking in English. And then after this, everybody just fell into a pep rally. Yay! And I'm going, what was that? And it was crazy. You know why it was crazy? Because I wasn't used to it. New crowd. New pool. The last thing is this. For some of you, your biggest problem is you haven't been wet in a while. You haven't been wet in a while. Your biggest problem is you haven't even been to the pool. So maybe today, God is challenging you to get back in the pool. And he just may challenge you to enter the pool through that diving board. Let me just share a couple of results of this with you, okay? First of all, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. It's not a word I use a whole lot, but I love the meaning of this word. We find it in the King James Version. The Bible says that this advocate, this Holy Spirit, is our comforter. And the New King James talks about him being the helper. But he is our advocate. And in John the 14th chapter, verse 26, it says this, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." In the definition of an advocate is a person who pleads for you, is on behalf of you. You know, I've had to have those rescue moments where I'm glad my brother was close to me because I got into a little sticky situation and I said, "Oh yeah, that's my brother." And he was there to help me and to bail me out. Most of the time it was him grabbing me and saying, "Don't be an idiot," and moving me out of the situation. The advocate will do that with you too, because sometimes we're just knuckleheads. But most of the time the Holy Spirit's there to help us. He's there to defend us, to be with us. The problem is this, is that most of the time we live our lives as a Christian feeling all alone. We feel like I just got me, and what am I going to do? Am I going to make it through this situation? How am I going to handle this? And we forget we have this incredible helper, this comforter called the Holy Spirit. One of the results of what he does in our life is he shows up and he helps us with those things. Troy State University, I was sad, I was lonely, feeling out of it. I had roommates, but you know what? That was a big difference. I was in the room all myself one night, and I'm just kind of crybabying to God, and he says, "Don't forget, my son, Jesus Christ, is with you. And I have sent my Holy Spirit to abide in you." And all of a sudden, I started realizing, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I felt alone before that, but then I'm not alone. You know what the world does when they feel alone? They go to a bar. You know what the world does when they feel alone? They go, that marriage didn't work out. I need to find another one really, really quick. They find all kinds of excuses to have people around them, but they're still all alone. The Holy Spirit completely fills in that gap. The infilling of the Holy Spirit helps me to realize that I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when I sense His presence, I sense also that this is an incredible word. Write it down, teenagers. Power. I feel in His power because of His presence there. And because of the presence and the power, I know the person of the Holy Spirit is there. That's the result. It's not something tangible you can see, but you feel it, and it's different, and it makes a change in your life. He is your comforter. He is your helper. He's your advocate, and He pleads on your behalf. One of the coolest things about the Holy Spirit is the Bible tells us that He is always with God, with Jesus, interceding for us right here in heaven. I mean, on earth. And you think you're all alone. You're not ever, ever alone. He's right there with you through everything that you face. The second thing is He helps us with our sin. Now, sin is your enemy, is my enemy, and it's the enemy of the Holy Spirit. Sin wants to bring you down. Sin wants to destroy you. You see, there's something that Satan has learned over a long period of time of really, really successfully applying these things, is that he works with two powerful things called shame and guilt. He loves to make you feel bad if you leave church or if you haven't been in church or if you don't read your Bible. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to remind you that there's wonderful gifts and power and wonderful things happening in the Bible, the Satan just wants to make you feel like you're a loser. That's all there is to it. He's great. Guilt and shame. He's powerful at it. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Galatians, the 5th chapter, "The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." Duh. Yeah, they do not coexist. It's oil and water. That's all there is to it. "So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." What is he talking about, law? The law of the flesh. You listen to this body. This body will tell you to eat the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing, to say the wrong thing, to be with the wrong person, to behave badly. Words come out of your mouth that you never anticipate. because your flesh is in control. That's because there's this law. It's almost like gravity, okay? You cannot defy gravity. That's all there is to it. We've tried a couple of times, but you can't do it. Now, here's the thing. That's a law. And what is he saying here? Is he wanting to let you know that if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of what the flesh says you have to do, but you are now under a new law by the Spirit. And the Spirit says, you know what? You don't have to do that. You don't have to sleep with that person. You don't have to say that bad word. You don't have to take that substance to be happy. You don't have to have that fight. You can live in peace and love and joy. That's what the Spirit says. So how does the infilling of the Holy Spirit help you with this battle of sin? First of all, he convicts us of our sin. Now, listen, every one of us understand, just like the bumper sticker says, I'm not perfect. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. That's all there is to it. Some of us don't want to admit it, but we're a sinner. And we are not perfect. Until we get to heaven, we're not going to be perfect. Okay? So here's the deal. When we sin, the Holy Spirit lovingly convicts us of our sin. He doesn't condemn us. I've said this so many times, but it's so important that you understand the difference between how Satan reacts to your sin and how the Holy Spirit reacts to your sin. Satan wants to condemn you. Say, I can't believe you did that. You should be ashamed of yourself. And maybe you should. Maybe you just pulled the blunder of all blunders. But you know, all he wants to do is accentuate that, blow it out of proportion, magnify it, so you are completely humiliated and ashamed. Matter of fact, the more public, the better. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. If you never experienced conviction, it's when the Holy Spirit comes to you and he never calls you names. What he does is he reminds you that Jesus Christ loves you. He doesn't remind you that Jesus died on the cross. How could you do that? He doesn't remind you that God loved you, sent Jesus to die on the cross. How could you do that? No, you know what? I love you too much to let you ruin the rest of your life. I want you to come back to the Father. Ask him to forgive you. And he, because of his promises, will forgive you. You're not going to find that in the world. You can only find that in the Holy Spirit. Senior year, sitting in the classroom, Miss Armstrong called me up. Go to this desk. This is this desk where I know this is the desk of shame. Usually you have a bad grade or whatever. And out of nowhere, I'll cut this short. She says, David Mewburn, I heard some of the very reliable sources. You've been smoking marijuana. And she didn't ask me if it was true. She said, I want to know what you're going to do about it. She knew it was true. Well, I sinned a little bit more. I just lied. But I went down to back to my desk. And for the first time in my life, I felt like somebody said, kid, I love you. And I'm not going to let you throw your life away. And I couldn't run from that. I couldn't hide from that. And I didn't want to. All of a sudden, there was this person who had the goods on me. All she had to do was turn me into her husband, who was the head football coach. He knew as well. And I was being kicked off the team. If he told me my dad, I would be dead and not in this pulpit today. You know how that goes. But I felt convicted. I didn't know it was conviction. But you know what it came across? It came across as extreme compassion. And in that moment, Miss Armstrong cared more about me and my future than she did anything else. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Second of all, he helps us avoid sin by showing us the truth. Sometimes we go barreling right into something. We know it's the wrong thing, but the Holy Spirit rushes in to say, hey, wait a minute. Let me show you something you need to know. And to help you not, to head you off from doing the wrong thing. In the Bible, John 16, verse 13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So just remember, we don't have to sin. We choose to sin. The Holy Spirit goes before us and says, listen, this is a bad setup. You are not going to do this. This is not the right thing to do. And how many times have we stepped right over his authority and said, I know what I'm doing? We have, hadn't we? We just ignored what he said. Listen, some of you men, you've been watching TV. Maybe you was on a hotel in a call away from your house, and you're there by yourself, and you just flip through the TVs. Things start showing up. You know good and well, right then, the Holy Spirit was telling you, you should not follow what you're seeing on that thing. How many times you've been in a conversation and you know you shouldn't say what you're fixing to say, and it's not because it's a horrible, bad joke, but there's just things that you're fixing to say about somebody. It's called gossip if you're not wondering where I'm going. And the Holy Spirit right there saying, you shouldn't say that. But you just watch right over that. How many times have you decided you're going to use a word that's not appropriate anywhere? I can't use it in this pulpit, can't use it in the halls of this church, so why should you be using it in your everyday conversation? But it needs to be ignored, and the Holy Spirit steps in. He's not there because he's a hall monitor. He's there because he loves you. And he's trying to prevent you from doing things that you shouldn't do. The third thing is he helps us pray. Man alive, my prayer life changed the minute I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. And here's the cool thing. He prays for us, but he also prays through us. Let me ask you a series of questions. Do you think the Holy Spirit knows what you need more than you do? Absolutely. Do you think the Holy Spirit knows what you need and where to get it? Absolutely. That's an amen. Yes, he does, if you're wondering how you should respond. Spirit of Mark Perky came over me. I'm sorry. Forgive me there for a second. Do you think that the Holy Spirit knows where you are and where you need to be? I'm telling you. You better get after it. I got one more question. You got one last chance. You got one last chance. Because I'm looking at the clock, and so are you. Do you think the Holy Spirit knows everything there is to know about your life? And some of you are hungry. You're ready to go. Well, of course he does. Of course he does. That's why we embrace him into our life. That's why we invite him into our life. Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So when we have prayed, we've done everything we know to do. We have done the math. We've worked the plan. We've exercised all of our resources. Then pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows what's going on more than you do. The Spirit knows what the diagnosis is, even if the doctors don't know what the diagnosis is. But you know what else he knows? He knows what the cure is. He knows how to solve the problem. You don't know how to deal with this tension in this relationship you have. You don't have to deal with this horrible world, but the Holy Spirit does. He's there right there for us, so be careful that you don't exclude him. That is what you do when praying for others. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what they need. I don't know what you need, but when God needs, and what God needs, is us praying for each other in the Spirit. One last thing. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness. This was the thing that I was excited about the most when I got introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? I didn't think I was a good witness. Matter of fact, I didn't think I was a really good Christian. You see, Satan had me on that thought problem. It's always emotional. You know, that roller coaster, everybody's been there, right? When you're feeling good and you're reading your Bible, everything's fine. Then you find these dead spots or these low spots, and maybe you're not the perfect one that you thought you were. And you're just up and down and up and down. And I needed boldness. I remember when praying for the Holy Spirit, I told Rick Berlin, the guy who led me in this prayer with asking for the Holy Spirit to come into my life. I said, Rick, I'm going to tell you what. I said, I just want the power to live a consistent life for Jesus Christ. And I said, and if tongues comes with it, fine. Because I wasn't seeking tongues. I was seeking the boldness, the courage, the strength to live a life for Jesus Christ. Acts 4:31. It's a powerful picture out of the New Testament. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And most of us would look at this verse and be amazed that the place was shaken, and it was. But the greatest and the most important part of this verse, it's not that the earth moved, but the result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit was that they received boldness. Boldness. I love when God does physical stuff, don't you? We like that, and we understand. We have no problem responding to that. But what God wants to do is he wants to build a new character in you. He wants to give you boldness. This isn't so you can go out there and just go, bless God, I know what I'm talking about. You don't. You're going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I mean, where do we get that idea that we're supposed to be this super superior person, holier than thou type thing? Jesus walked around. He had all the authority in the world. And what did he do? He walked around in humility. He was the one who said, I came to to serve, not to be served. So the Holy Spirit doesn't give us boldness so we can go out there and treat everybody like a bowling pin and we're the bowling ball. No, not at all. He gives us this boldness so that we can be used by Him. Boldness in the Greek means this: freedom in speaking or unreserved speech, free and fearless confidence. We get this boldness so that we can walk the walk that we want to walk in confidence. Isn't that cool? Say yes. Thank you. I mean, I want to be confident. I want to be confident in everything that I'm doing. Someone once said, you know, I want to walk out of this place knowing and showing. Knowing and showing. And that's what comes with confidence. I don't think you can eliminate courage from that picture, but the correct picture here is not bravery at all. It's confidence. Man, they were so confident in what they're doing. You ever found yourself going, you know, you want to witness to somebody, you're going, I just don't know what I'm going to say. Isn't that a little issue of lack of confidence? Have you ever faced a temptation, physical temptation or whatever, and you're going, man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And listen, rehearsing a physical response to a spiritual situation is never going to get it. Okay, listen. If you're looking at a Little Debbie Swiss cake roll and you're wondering whether you should eat it or not, don't spiritualize that, okay? You know what you are? You're just a pastor of Claremore Assembly of God. That's all there is to it. Don't go crazy with this stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, young people, when you're faced with a sexual temptation, whether it involves another person or a picture or a thought or something you read or somebody that's influenced you, don't start thinking, well, I'll tell you what I got to do. I just got to do it. No. You know what you... Start concentrating on the confidence that Jesus Christ has given you as a born-again believer. You're walking strong in who He is. And mom and dad, it's the same thing with our marriages, with our business actions. All these things that we need to walk right out of the confidence of who He is. We should seek to be bold in our confidence, not our courage. So let me bring this to an end. I love this next slide. So it's time to jump. It's time to jump. This moment is a paralyzing moment. But do you see the joy on that little kid's face? I mean, you know what? She is ready to get wet. She has conquered the diving board. And if you've noticed, she's got some pretty cool floaties on. Which reminds me, you're going to laugh when I say this. It kind of really reminds me of the Holy Spirit. He's always there to make sure that if we jump off, regardless of our circumstances, we're going to survive it. And it's going to be good. And we may be going in smiling, and we're going to come out victorious. It's time to jump. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do in the next few moments. Listen, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you today, in the next few moments, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask as many of you will to just come to the front. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to come back to the diving board, and you need to take a leap. You need to get back in the game. Your Holy Spirit language has been on the shelf a little too long. You haven't utilized it the way you should. And you're holding it in the reserve of emergency. When something happens and it's an emergency, you pull it off the shelf because you know what? It never left you. You pull it off the shelf and you activate it again. Well, you know what? It's a little rusty. I'm going to ask those of you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come as far as you can to the altar. And just for a few minutes, I want you to just unleash that incredible gift that God gave you. Some of you need to be filled, but you haven't. Listen, I'm just going to encourage you. This is not a church that says, if you have been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you haven't got it, what's your problem? I mean, no. I hope you got the joke in that, okay? But that's the way sometimes we feel. I am so grateful that Rick Berlin, on the night that I asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and hey, he put me through the ranks. I mean, I was on my knees, my hands were up, we were praying, but I go, hey, the lamp's still on. there was all these things that were going, and I left that place. He said, David, let me tell you what. If you ask sincerely to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, guess what? God answered your prayer. But I want you to keep seeking, because I know what you're wanting. You're wanting the full evidence. He said, keep seeking. So you know what? For 2 weeks, every day, I'd read my Bible, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray. Went back that 2 weeks later, Larry Carr, another guy that we knew from the church, he's there asking the same questions from Rick Berlin. And Rick just says, hey, let's pray for Larry. Larry was where you were a couple of weeks ago. So I'm praying for Larry out of nowhere, boom, I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? And you know what? It's because I just kept praying. A lot of you may have been asking. You know what? Never quit asking. Never quit asking. You know, I realized when you have a 3-year-old And they keep going, why? 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 You're asking yourself, why did I have a child in the first place? Can we just get beyond this? That's not the same thing as pleading to your Heavenly Father and saying, Father, I want the blessing that you have for me. I want the confidence and the boldness that comes with it. I want the results. I want to be victorious over sin. I'm tired. I'm tired of being thrown under the bus by my flesh and by my sin and by life. I want to be victorious. I want to live a great life. I want the peace that you told me I could have. You're the Prince of Peace. I want the hope that I hear the Bible. The Bible says you're the God of hope. Keep asking. Come to this altar today. Listen, nobody's going to interview you. Nobody's going to come up to you and tell you what to say. But I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit's saying. Come again. Just keep coming. Keep coming. And this thing's going to happen. And some of you are still seeking. You're not quite ready to jump, but you want to. God has never said no to somebody who is seeking Him. Why would He have said, seeking you so fine? Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Why would He say that if He wasn't serious? God loves seekers. God loves seekers. But God also loves to respond to the seeking. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a very precious, very, very significant moment or two that we have in this altar today before we leave this place. I pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to just come and minister to us. Father, the funny thing is when we say come and minister, you're already here. You're already here. You've prefaced everything that I've said. You've prepared our hearts. We're ready. So I pray, God, now that we would just find ourselves so true to all the things that you have told to us in our hearts, in our spirit, from this pulpit, but especially from your Bible. Give us today, Lord God, that we would begin seeing the results. Love where there was no love. Victory where there was no victory. Peace where there was nothing but chaos. Order where there was nothing but just confusion. And all of that is because the Holy Spirit knows how to work in our life. Father, I pray you'll do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will all of you please stand? As many of you will, just right now, just leave your pew. Just come down here in this time of worship in just a second. Raise your hands, do whatever you want to, but just come as closely as you can. God just responds to what we do. God's already made the first move. You realize that, don't you? He left heaven and came down here and lived for us. A sinless life. And the Bible says all He did was go around healing people and doing good. And back then what they did was they killed Him. Today, the best thing we can do is just respond to Him in goodness and in hope. And the Bible reminds us of something that you and I both know, is that it's the Holy Spirit that produces the results, not me and you. This isn't you. This isn't you. How could you do what we're praying about? Only the Holy Spirit could do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the worship team leads us, I pray, God, that you will just do something deep in our heart. All of us have a cry. All of us have a desire. All of us have something we want to bring you today. But more than anything, Father, we're not holding you responsible for a show. This is not about performance. This is about you just loving on your people. Today, Father, we want to see the results. We want to experience the results. We want to see our lives change. We want to leave here people of love. We want to be here, Lord, with a new devotion to our Bible. We want to leave here with a new desire to spend time in prayer. We want to be with you, Lord God. And today, Father, right now, will you, as we lead this song, will you, Lord God, enhance that in our own hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor John, lead us in that, please.